We're moving into, yes, we're heading further east now into Arizona, and Susan Koons will be talking with us. And Susan is the Chief of Health and Wellness, and I will let you say what that's known as because my Spanish really stinks. Okay, thank you. At Mariposa Community Health Center in Nogales, Arizona. She oversees community health and public health services for the border region for the largely Hispanic Latino population of Santa Cruz County on the U.S.-Mexico border. Susan's worked with the U.S.-Mexico border region for the past 32 years with both Hispanic Latino communities and tribal communities, including as executive director of the Border Health Foundation. Susan, I won't take any more of your time. Please talk to us about what's happening in Arizona.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be an Arizona native, although I'm not always happy with Arizona politics and how we wind up in the news. But what I want to share with you is actually some history and infrastructure in Arizona that I think is a very interesting model for binational collaboration. And I decided to talk about this little piece because I thought it might be a little different than my counterparts from the other states. Let's see. So we tend to think about our two-state region like this. Arizona and Sonora perfectly align, and we have a lot of shared history. In fact, about half of Arizona didn't even become part of the United States until 1853. So we never had a war on this border, and there's no river on the border. It's just sort of been a region for a very long time, and I think that has facilitated us doing cross-border binational work in a little bit different way. As I mentioned, there's a lot of history and culture. This is Tumacacri, which is about 10 miles north of Nogales. That's where I live. I work in Nogales, and interestingly, I'm sorry that Carmen had to leave, but this is one of the Spanish missions, obviously, and it was from here that a group of Spaniards led by a gentleman, De Anza, that they went from here and established San Francisco. So there's a lot of history, and actually this is also significant. This is the first place that wheat was grown in the United States. A lot of the eastern crops were brought in, wheat, beef, fruit trees, things like that. And it's just ironic because that wheat is a little bit different than the wheat that's making us all obese now, in addition to all the corn syrup. So history has a way of being very important. So this is the border fence in Ambos Nogales. Nogales is a city that's on the Arizona side is about 20,000, and on the Mexico side is probably about 300,000 in Sonora. And you can see the fence. And this is what living there is like. I can see this from my office, and there's a lot of traffic back and forth. This is actually a pedestrian gate right here where a lot of people just walk across instead of using their car. And then there are also two ports of entries for cars. So there's lots of trade. People cross the border to go to school, healthcare, work daily. I have several colleagues that live on the Nogales-Sonora side and cross every day to go to work. Arizona has something called the Arizona-Mexico Commission, and I don't know if something like this exists in the other border states, but it was established back in 1959, and it's a formal relationship between the two governors and anyone that they work with. It was started by Governor Fannin, and he said, God made us neighbors, so let us be good neighbors. I think it's a really good concept. And there's a sister organization in Sonora, the Comisión Arizona-Sonora, that evolved a little bit later. And so each of those commissions has staff and has a formal way of working together. There are 14 committees, and of course, I'm involved with the health committee, but there's tourism, trade, agriculture, arts and culture. I don't even know all the 14. Environmental health. There's a lot of them around business issues. And it's wonderful because this group gets together twice a year. We meet in Arizona once a year, and we meet in Sonora once a year. So the comments that Carmen was just making about going there, seeing where people live and work, getting to know them, and meet in different cities from rural areas to big cities. Sometimes the real popular meetings are on the beach along the Gulf of California. But people do get to know each other, and this it's fluid and it's consistent. There was a meeting that was missed when our governor did something really funky, conservative, and all the Sonorans said, we're not crossing to Arizona. And I was like, good, I'm glad you're not, because, you know, you got to make a stand. So I think it's when SB 1070 was passed and all the issues started, yeah. So the health, these committees are normally chaired by public officials, and they're often co-chaired by a private sector person, like I come from the private sector. In the case of the health committee, the two chairs are the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services and the Secretaría de Salud de Sonora. But a lot of private individuals are involved. You can be a member for free. Anyone can be involved. And even though it can be painfully official at times and bureaucratic, it is a channel to get your needs and wants to your public health directors and to the governors. And I say that because, am I missing a slide? Well, maybe not. It's coming up. Each of these commission meetings, it's usually about a day and a half, 2.5 day meeting. Groups, the committees meet on their own, and there's eventually a plenary session, and each of the committees submit recommendations to the governors right then. And a lot of these recommendations that go to the governors, they have a lot of likelihood of success because they've been vetted by both states and they have their public officials, and at least kind of gets things going. And so if there are issues that we want to work on, that we want to have it be more at a state level, then we have a way of kind of feeding that information to them. The types of things that these committees do, that the Health Services Committee does, a lot of information exchanges, you might guess. You know, what are you doing? How are you dealing with diabetes? You know, how are you responding to flu? Although recently, a lot more is about lifestyle and social determinants of health. Joint policy development, and then there are joint initiatives and projects that we've actually sought funding for. We've had some special funding from the federal government and from other places. Right now, what the commission is mostly working on, and the binational councils in Arizona, there are four. There's a binational council in Douglas Agua Prieta, in Ambos Nogales, in San Luis Rio Colorado, which is near California. There's a trinational council between the Tonawatam Nation and the folks in Puerto Peñasco, Sonora, working on teen pregnancy prevention, on diabetes. A lot of people are addressing diabetes, but is it being addressed in an effective way, and is it really doing more primary prevention upstream, sharing best practices, and then injuries in children. In fact, Sonora, I believe, is now the first Mexican state to have a child injury prevention initiative, and we're getting ready to do a 4-week training course of a whole bunch of folks from Sonora on how to be certified in the car seat installation and safety and stuff like that. So this committee creates channels for opportunities like this, and because it's official and got the state health directors and the governors involved, it allows us to bring in resources that can be really helpful. I've been to some dynamite trainings by folks from Mexico City that, you know, come to our little towns and share all this national stuff they're doing and best practices and help with evaluation and how do you get outcomes and things like that. But everybody's working together. Locally, the binational council we have in Amos Nogales, we always have a really nice Christmas party on December 11th. If any of you are around, we'll be eating at a very nice restaurant in Nogales, Sonora, and having our meeting too, so you're welcome to come. But a lot of it is about really getting to know each other and understanding the circumstances, and the resource levels are very, very different, as you might guess. I already mentioned this, really getting training and best practices. And so just to close, basically, I mean, the most important thing is what's happening locally in any community, and you really have to have grassroots people, and you have to have stakeholders. Around that, you have the binational health councils. The Arizona Public Health Association is not very focused on border health, But many of the people like myself that live on the border that are involved with these things are part of the association. And because there's the official channel to ADHS, it's really sort of a parallel universe. And then beyond that, you have the two health departments, and then we have the Arizona-Mexico Commission and the Comisión Sonora-Arizona. So it's a neat model. It's been around for a long time. It's not perfect, but it does provide a regular opportunity to address policymakers and work with officials that have authority. So that is what I wanted to share with you, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Yeah. Yes, we do. Oh, yeah. Sorry, she asked if we have if this structure has much of a relationship with some of the humanitarian groups, No More Deaths, the Samaritans that assist migrants. I think that some of us, we work directly with those groups. I think those groups are not very attracted to this structure, maybe because of not being maybe not having their expectations met, but they're a little too creative for and resourceful for this group. And then there are the politics around immigration, and you know, is putting water out. Yes, that's humanitarian, but is that attracting migrants? And so it gets really interesting when you start working like with the Thonautum Nation, a tribal community with, you know, 60 miles of border, and how their reaction is interpreted or understood or misunderstood. Yeah, that's a good question, though. Anybody else?
Share a little bit about what the tribal nations, they do converse with immigrants.
Well, the Thonautum Nation, I have worked with for over 20 years in different capacities, and the influx of migrants through the Arizona desert because of the, you know, limiting access in the cities has had a real cultural and environmental impact. I think tribal members in general are very receptive and have a history of helping immigrants, giving them water, food, and first aid, but their tribal nation has become very militarized. I mean, there are border patrol stations, and they did fight the fence. They refused to put up the tall metal fence. They have vehicle barriers in certain places. But there have been some issues more drug-related around crime. And I think a lot of tribal members are now afraid to go hunting and gathering. They're afraid to sleep outside, which is traditional, and some things like that. And it's really not the majority of migrants that are coming through. That's illegal activity that's really drug-related, unfortunately. But just a tremendous Border Patrol presence. Border Patrol has run over tribal members. I mean, so there are tribal members who don't think you should put water out, and others that do, and yeah, so, but it can be very expensive. For example, there are a lot of deaths in Arizona because of the climate, and any of the deaths that occur on the tribal nation, the tribe is responsible for those homicidal investigations, and so the hospital, which is very underfunded already, is strained by, you know, they're bringing 60 migrants who are suffering from hypothermia in a winter storm or something like that. And so I think that that particular tribal government keeps trying to get the U.S. government to respond and provide resources, like they can provide this humane response and help, but not strain the resources they have that are already really thin. And they're using resources that they earn themselves through tribal gaming to provide these services.
Okay, thank you.